We're talking about cryptozoology, and we're doing it with a guy who's been tracking developments over the last couple of years after a lifelong of interest in it at AmericanMonsters.com. You can link up to Rob Morphy at CoastToCoastAM.com, like all of our guests. And if you do, send him an email about what it is that you saw once, perhaps what you might have still some evidence of, particularly photos. And Rob will post it in the gallery section of AmericanMonsters.com, which is growing with every week. Patrick is on the wild card line as we head into our last hour on Coast to Coast AM. Patrick, you're talking with Rob Morphy.
Hello, Ian. This is Pat from Detroit.
Thanks for hanging on.
Oh, I've been listening to Coast to Coast since the late 90s, and the first time I've, gotten through since I've been trying to call different times.
Glad to have you.
I wanted to bring up what you were asking about if anybody knew anything about what you called the Cabots,
Yeah.
cat cross, so-called cross between a cat and a rabbit.
Right. Anything on that?
I remember the story. It was on the news, and, they joked about it, and there was a cross between a cat and a rabbit, and they showed it. And actually what it was a cat, but it had a mutation or a defect, birth defect, but it was both legs, so I guess you'd call it a mutation. And if it was more than one they showed, they're all from the same litter.
Huh.
And they're showing it how it's, in order for it to have a natural gait, I guess the best way it could, with its back legs like that, it would sort of hop like a rabbit and lunge forward, as it's moving. And that's all it was a cat.
Well, that's interesting. In this case, it wasn't a news story that someone had related to me. It's actually a Polaroid photo of something in their house. That they had found outside. So I wonder whether this mutation happens more often than we would think, that either A, they don't survive, or B, for some reason they just don't make the news or nobody talks about it. That's interesting, Pat, and I appreciate that. I guess it goes back to the subject we were talking about earlier, Rob, about how do we define crypto?
That's very true. I mean, and you never know. Is this an anomalous thing, a genetic defect, a sign of evolution, perhaps? I mean, there's so many different variables that you have to include when you're researching things like that. And the definition of monster, it's very difficult.
Is it
simply an unknown animal, or is it something more?
And what would happen if we bred a couple of these so-called Cabots together? And what new species might develop after just a couple of generations?
That's absolutely true. And besides that, let's, consider the genetic option. I mean, will we have Cabots or other hybrids, created in labs within the next 10 years?
Well, and there's this legislation that we talked about last week against so-called chimeras, that they would prevent that from happening. Don't know yet whether that's going to go through, but it's on the table in Congress. Thank you, Pat. Let's go to Carlos east of the Rockies on Coast to Coast AM for Rob Morphy of AmericanMonsters.com. Carlos?
Yes, this is Carlos. I'm in the Houston area. Hey, Carlos. Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Excellent, excellent show. I listen to you guys all the time. I've been listening to you for 6 or 7 years probably. So my story is just really, I'll be this, as quick as possible with this.
Sure.
I went out with a many, many years ago. It's been probably 15 years or around that area. We went out to the West Texas area, and I was with a guy who was a Special Forces guy for the Marines in the Vietnam War. And something that he did on the side, basically that's what mainly what he did for money was he would go out there and find, make drug busts or whatever was going across from Mexico into Texas around the Big Bend National Park area in Lajitas and Terlingua. And he told me about all kinds of things that were going on out there. And I was in my 20s at the time and wasn't doing much. And he asked me if I wanted to go out with him on this trip and one other guy. So with three of us that went out to that area, and there were these mine shafts that I think he said there were mercury mine shafts that Nixon during his administration had closed down. He'd shut down. But we went to that area, and he said basically that there were live, like gargoyle type creatures is what he said that he encountered in the past. Well, I thought it was a little crazy, but I'm a pretty open-minded guy, and I was just going out there just to have an adventure basically. But we went out to the mine shaft areas. that are shut down, and you could feel, we parked over by one, and it's about 10 feet, 12 feet in diameter. It's huge.
Wow.
And you could set your head over it and feel hot air coming through it. I mean, you put your head over it and feel air coming up, which was very, very strange, I thought. And so what we ended up doing, long story short, is we just said we want to drop a couple of big rocks down there and see what happens. You look down with a big, we had, you know, huge lights looking down, and you could see the bottom of platform, the bottom of the shaft, what would be the bottom, was broken out. The wood was broken out, but you could still see what was left of it. But anyway, we dropped a couple of big, you know, maybe 20, 30 pound stones down there, see what would happen. About 5 minutes to 10 minutes later, you start seeing dust coming up. You start seeing, like, you know, it's finally hit bottom. And this is the hot air that's coming up is now blowing dust up, which is I thought was amazing in itself. All of a sudden, we hear something crawling up this thing, literally. And I ever saw it, but I heard the thing crawling. I heard something was crawling up that thing, and it was alive. And then it was quiet. We didn't hear anything. So we said, well, let's dump it. And we were like, we had guns and everything. We were ready for anything. So we dropped these big stone. We dropped another big stone down, and you hear it hit this time. It hit something, and it was boom. It was like, poof, and then it just, like, you know, and then you hear, and then you hear something like scraping down. If you were holding on to it, for example, if it was you and you're holding on and it hits you, you would slide down. And we heard this sliding down sound that was, you know, something was holding on and it hit it. And then it was like, it started making noise, like it was coming back up, but nothing ever happened. Mm. So, I mean, but we had other experiences after that, like the next day, the next night, we're out there and our radar detectors are going off and, at night, we hear, he says there's something going on out there, and our lights are going off and our radar detectors, we're out in the middle of nowhere. Okay. We're out. I mean, it's amazing.
Right.
And
now, where in Texas
sudden,
did you say you were?
We were in West Texas near Terlingua, Lajitas, near the Big Bend National Park area.
Okay.
All right. And then finally I did hear something the next night. Like he said, for some reason he knew that they were out there watching us, and that's why our radar detectors were blinking off and on, all three of our vehicles. and we heard, I heard a growl that was not like an animal or a human. It was it's unbelievable. It was just a very deadly, deadly sound.
That's
fascinating. Well, Carlos,
it was just scared the heck out of me. And,
I understand that. Let's get a response, though, from Rob, since that's why you're calling, too, Carlos, and thank you, and have a wonderful night. So, Rob, you hear something like that. He doesn't obviously get an impression of it, but it makes you think again about how great it is to have sound and video, and if people have that you can put that on the website,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely. Images, sound, video, anything you have. And what I find intriguing about that report is one of the very first reports that we put up after we started the site, it says Texas Gargoyle, and we actually got it from a coast-to-coast program, and it's dated April 17th, 2003. And I'll read a little bit here.
Yeah.
An anonymous driver reported an encounter with a bipedal velociraptor-like creature on George Neuer's Coast to Coast radio program while driving down Interstate 20 just west of Fort Worth, Texas. The witness claimed that the animal had powerful hind legs, short forelimbs, and was covered with brownish-gray hair. The driver further compared the animal's features to those of a gargoyle.
Now, how about that? We didn't hear Carlos reference having heard about it, just his own experiences. So that makes you think, if it's not just Carlos and not just that person who called into Coast to Coast.
Absolutely.
How many other people out there might have had this experience?
It's certainly worth investigating. And I'd like to mention this, too, before we go on to the next caller. Besides just sending us emails, please consider, everyone out here, joining our forum, because then you get the benefit of knowledge not only of the three of us who have founded the site, but all of our members can actually help you, and it's a good way to communicate back and forth. So we'd love to get all your emails, but definitely consider joining the forum as well. It's a simple, easy process, and then you have access to all of our members.
Well, as far as I know, only the first time caller line is open right now. I'm sure that will change coming up, and we've got more next with Rob Morphy and AmericanMonsters.com. Your experiences, your stories, and your evidence, if you've collected it, coming up next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Always nice when we hear from multiple callers from the same region just to compare stories or notes. We'll do that a couple of times this hour, I hope, with people who can confirm what other callers have already phoned in their cryptozoological experiences. Bob is west of the Rockies for Rob Murphy of the AmericanMonsters.com website. Bob?
Hi there. How you doing?
Good. Hey, what Bob. Do you got for us?
I want to relate an experience I had about 15 years ago. I was in the middle of the desert in Joshua Tree National Park. I was literally 40 miles from anywhere. There was going down a really isolated road. There was a water truck parked on the side of the road, and this huge canine-looking creature walked out in front of the water truck. It stood about 6 feet tall, walking on all fours. I've never seen anything like it since. It stopped in the middle of the road. The whole experience lasted about 30 seconds or so. Stopped in the middle of the road and just looked back at me. And I was about 15 or 20 feet away from it. And then it just lumbered off into the desert. It was the largest creature I've ever seen.
How big would you estimate it?
I'm sorry?
How big would you estimate it to be?
I would say it weighed about 250 pounds or so, and if it had stood on its hind legs, it would have been about 8 feet tall.
Wow.
And I've never heard of anything like that before, but I was going from one campground to the next in Joshua Tree, and I didn't even pass a car the whole way. It was that isolated. And has anyone ever heard of anything like that?
Can I just interject and say, yes, but usually when a description comes in, something like that is usually only in a tale about a werewolf.
It definitely correlates with a lot of werewolf tales, or even in a more paranormal sense, black dog type tales. What color was it again?
It had a black coat, and it had streaks. It looked like streaks of brown in it, and it resembled to a degree, body type, a Great Dane, but the head was massive on this thing. It was the middle of the day. It was like 2 or 3 in the afternoon.
And did it act in any threatening manner toward you?
Well, like I said, it stopped. It looked over its shoulder, over its left shoulder, and it looked back at me, and I was in my car.
But it didn't snarl or anything.
I was in the car. The windows were rolled up, and I didn't hear anything. Like I said, 15 or 20 feet away.
Right.
And it looked back at me for 2 or 3 seconds, and it lumbered off into the desert.
I thank you for that, Bob. Let me ask Rob, though, about that. Explain what you mean by a black dog experience.
Well, a black dog is sort of a paranormal kind of entity. It's usually considered to be an omen of some sort of, death or some sort of tragedy that will come. And it's known, especially throughout Europe. But it's definitely considered to be something ethereal and ghost-like and not necessarily a living biological organism.
I'm reminded in the last Harry Potter movie?
Very much so. No doubt Rowling took that from traditional legend.
Okay. Let's go back to the wild card line where James is in Texas. Hey, James, you haven't seen any of those gargoyles in Texas, have you?
Actually, yeah, but that's not what I'm calling for. But That past caller, I used to live in the Dallas area, and I once caught one. I caught a glimpse of one.
And of one of those dog-type creatures?
One of those flying gargoyle-type creatures?
Yeah, one of those gargoyle-type things. It was, I don't know, I can't really say how big it was. I'd say about, somewhere between 5.5, 6 feet. It was just kind of big. I can't really tell you, But
where did you see it?
Like that.
Where did you see it?
I personally saw it on the freeway coming up to Dallas from Corpus, where I live now. And I just caught a glimpse of it. And then, for the longest time, I just thought I was crazy. So I thought nothing of it. And then that guy said it, and I was like, oh, wow, But what I really wanted to know is I've only heard the name Jersey Devil. I've only heard it mentioned. I don't know anything about it, and I was wondering if you did.
Well, if Rob doesn't, I do. So, Rob?
Well, I'd certainly be glad to let you offer any information you have. I know that there's lots of legends surrounding it, excuse me, in that it's supposed to be a winged creature that looks sort of like a goat and that dwells in the Pine Barrens of New Jersey.
Well, in fact, I was kind of thinking of the Jersey Devil when you mentioned the Monkey Man earlier, the story that's on the website, AmericanMonsters.com, right now about the sighting outside of Elgin and or some of these devil monkey stories, because the Jersey Devil story incorporates some of that, but it can also be more of a beastly-looking human, but very human-looking and not at all animal-like or having animal-like characteristics, depending on which one of the Jersey Devil stories you want to go with.
That's interesting. I'm not as familiar with the humanoid version of the Jersey Devil.
Right.
Certainly the hybrid beast version is the one that I've read most of the accounts of, but I would love to hear about all of the variations.
Well, and probably there are better places where you can explore that, but I will say I lived in New Jersey for a while, and I was very interested in it, not just being a hockey fan, but because I loved driving through the Pine Barrens. And the Pine Barrens, when you get around about the lower third of the state, you'll start seeing this incredibly repetitive scenery. It's almost like the background drawings on a Flintstone cartoon or something. It's just the same thing over and over again. And driving through, but it's beautiful and it's very hypnotic. And what I learned is probably not, it won't encapsulate all the stories of the Jersey Devil, but some of them are that it has to do, the devil legend begins in some accounts by a mother cursing her child.
I've heard that.
Yeah, having been found pregnant again and not wanting to be pregnant again, she curses the child, and the child comes out, she says, let the devil take this child, and that the devil does. And that the child comes out with kind of a forked tail and a long tongue and a very, what we might consider to be sort of a reptilian appearance. She keeps it in her basement. And although the Pine Barrens has sort of a sandy soil, that she kind of keeps it locked away from the other people. She's so ashamed of it, and it grows to adulthood and then escapes.
That's sort of one of the most beautiful things about cryptozoological pursuits, and one of the most frustrating. The beautiful aspect is that it ties into such fascinating legends.
Right.
But the frustrating element is that it's very difficult to remove the paranormal and supernatural elements away from what could otherwise be a fascinating,
right,
genuine animal. Granted, the zoological anomaly,
right,
but still a real creature.
Well, and the folkloric aspect of it is what interests me, because you'll hear people on occasion talk about getting rid of the name the Jersey Devils, and that they shouldn't be called the Devils, and that it endorses a kind of, you know, satanic worship,
right,
or something.
Right.
And what they fail to understand is that this is, the Jersey Devil is at its core a cautionary tale of don't let this happen to your family. Don't ever tempt the devil. Don't ever curse something. Look what happens when somebody does this.
And certainly.
And that's part of it. Now, the other part of it, too, is the stories of the Pine Barrens being as isolated as they are, almost, kind of scary in and of themselves, in that, you know, once you're in there, you get lost so easily because there's no frame of reference. There's no point that you can actually tell where you are and where you're going. That some of those Jersey Devil stories are used to explain the disappearance of children and livestock, and that the Jersey Devil was out to take away other people's children, as his childhood had been taken away by his own mother. He was going to be the curse to other families that his family had been to him.
And no doubt that served as an excellent warning for parents to make sure their children didn't get lost and
right,
suffer the same fate.
Stayed close. Now, again, that's just some of the stories of the Jersey Devil, and I hope that's helpful. Well, we just have so many people hanging around. Actually, James from New Jersey will be first up when we come back from the break, and many more. East, West, first-time caller line, international line. We'll get them all in next with Rob Morphy of AmericanMonsters.com. We're collecting new stories for his website on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. Laureen, if you're still listening, go to sleep. And to Rob Morphy from AmericanMonsters.com, I say to you, we have just had such a great phone response. It's been very interesting to hear people phoning in both their firsthand accounts and also just things that parents have told them or stories that they grew up with. Either way, they're going to make a great contribution to the website, AmericanMonsters.com. James is actually in New Jersey, perhaps not too far away from the Pine Barrens. James, did you grow up hearing stories of the Jersey Devil?
No, I told you, screener, I'm up here in Jersey. I'm a truck driver.
Oh, you're just driving through.
Yeah, I'm from down there in Red Oak, Texas.
All right, well, then you might have heard more about those gargoyle guys that are down there than the Jersey Devils. Either way, keep your eye out on the road.
What you're referring to there is the Witch Mountain.
Oh, tell me more about that.
That's not what I called in for, but basically back in the late 1900s, it's like 1901, 1906, if you'll call the Midlothian Council, they can give you some information on it. They were putting in a road from Mansfield to Venus, and they come up on a bunch of strange creatures.
Oh, about very interesting.
About 8 or 9 of the construction workers were killed over a 3-month period before they finally discontinued the project.
Wow, that's fascinating.
Yeah, that really is. That. Thank you. What were you calling about then, James?
My brother's got a 40-foot boat. We go deep-sea fishing that sometimes down off of Galveston.
Right.
Here about 10 years ago, right after that one little small tropical storm came through, right there at the beginning of September, we were off Tiki Island. And we'd been out for, I got out there about daylight. About 11 o'clock, he starts yelling, and I turn around to see what it was he was getting all upset about. There was a shark fin. Now, the side of his boat's about 4 foot off of the water. This shark fin was probably about, I don't know, it's hard to tell distance when you're out in the water, but it's probably 20, 30 yards offside the boat. The shark fin was higher than the top of my head.
Wow.
And there was like a bow wave. Have you ever seen a submarine or one of the big boats come into port, you know, how they'll put up a bow wave?
Right, yeah, I totally can picture that.
There was a bow wave that was probably about the same height as the side of the boat.
It sounds as if you might have seen a megalodon, a prehistoric, gigantic, great white shark, based on those proportions.
That's what he keeps saying. He's, for about the last, well, since we saw it, he's been on this kick about a Carcharodon. And I just don't know. All I know is this had to be the biggest shark I have ever seen.
Right.
It sounds like a record breaker.
And we immediately grounded ourselves on Tiki Island, and we stayed there until about 6 o'clock that evening, and then scooted over to the mainland.
Yeah, I know I'm mispronouncing this, Carcharodon, Carcharonis, or something like that. Was that the megalodon that you were referring to?
Yeah, if I remember correctly, he got real big into sharks after this. It's Carcharodon, Carcharias.
Right. That's probably better pronounced. So, Rob, I mean, and thank you so much, James. Drive carefully while you're out there. I mean, okay, so he sees a big giant shark. It would, I mean, not to just, you know, take anything away from that story, but have there been any other sightings other than that account of something as ancient and, you know, deadly as a prehistoric shark?
There have definitely been other sightings of it. And I even think the subject of perhaps a best-selling book, Meg. Yes, definitely there have been other sightings of these ancient sharks. And not common, of course, and they're believed to live in the very deep, deep ocean. Those who believe they still exist, of course, would suggest that, you know, the Marianas Trench and other, you know, deep and uncharted regions. But certainly there have been other reports. Of course, it's hard to really estimate size when you're on a boat, and it depends on what frames of references you may or may not have. But if it's that large, even if you're not specifically being able to judge exactly how tall it is, if you recognize it as being that big, plus two other sides of authenticity I find were reflected in that story. One, the genuine fear that had them ground up on a shore. I mean, if people are making up a story, they just go about their business. You know, if you're really afraid, then that's a good sign. And secondly, that his fascination, or his brother's, I believe it was, fascination for sharks amplified.
Right.
People that have real encounters tend to have an interest that really begins to grow inside of them, and they talk about the genuine fear manifested, especially if it's a dangerous predator like a gigantic ancient shark.
I think that's a fair point, that if you don't look like a hero in the story, you know, if you end up looking like kind of a big cowering wimp, that adds credibility to it.
Absolutely.
You're not, obviously, this isn't, you know, some fishtail about what you caught and then got away.
Right.
Let's go international line where John is hanging on for Rob Morphy of AmericanMonsters.com. John?
Hello?
Morning.
Evening. Morning. How are you?
Wherever you are.
I'm calling from Montreal, Canada. I'm just driving through Montreal, actually heading for the East Coast. I heard you talking about cabots, and I just wanted to mention, I thought somebody had mentioned something about it might just be freaking nature or something. I've seen them probably over a 20-year period, about four or five times in my life, in different areas of the East Coast and in Canada. So,
what are you transporting there? It sounds like a pterodactyl in the back.
Yeah, I just stopped, actually. I'm pushing the clutch in and out just because I thought I'd get back on the road. But
okay, so that's your clutch? That's your clutch making that noise?
That's my clutch. You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
It sounds like a screaming dinosaur.
It needs a little oil.
You're on a go-kart? What are you driving?
I'm driving a big old Volvo tractor trailer.
Okay. So you've seen cabots more than once in your life. Were they, as the previous caller described, a kind of mutation?
Yeah, they seem to have a rabbit rear end and a cat front end. And I had seen one, the first one I ever saw was a pet. It was owned by somebody, and, you know, they just explained it to me as half rabbit, half cat.
That truly is intriguing, and it seems to tie in with, even though in a vague way, a lot of the other marsupial-like hybrids where other creatures such as the devil monkeys are primates with kangaroo-like bottoms or rabbit-like bottoms. You know, speaking of rabbit-like creatures, not to break away from the calls, there's an animal that was recently seen in England known as the Beast of Green Drive. Have you heard of that one at all?
Not at all.
It was described, it's in Lytham, England. It was described as, let's see here, I've got it. The creature has been described as being approximately as tall as a collie dog with huge rabbit-like ears, a large mouth, and a loping gait. There's a website dedicated to it. beastofgreendrive.com, I think, and there's an amazing illustration of it, but it's fascinating. A lot of people have reported seeing this very recently in Great Britain.
Whatever it is that somebody's looking for, a great place to start is AmericanMonsters.com.
Absolutely. We have little blurbs about it everywhere.
All right, and we'll come back. We'll run the table then on what we have left, and we'll hear the stories and the experiences and ponder the evidence that is still out there. And we'll hook you up with Rob Morphy of AmericanMonsters.com next on Coast to Coast AM. My name's Ian Punnett. In our last segment, with our guest, Rob Morphy of AmericanMonsters.com, where they are a clearinghouse of information, photographs, and evidence for unknown animals, which are otherwise known as monsters. In many cases, I think the application is better than in some, but especially with some of these brain-sucking creatures and other life-threatening creatures out there, I can't think of a better way to describe them than monsters. Let's find out what other people have bumped into out on the roads, et cetera. East of the Rockies, Mike is hanging on for Rob of American Monsters. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, Ian? Rob?
Hey, Mike.
Glad to have you.
Just a little story. It's not, you know, founded or anything, but the story about a couple of divers that were working on a roller dam on the Mississippi there, welding the rollers, repairing them and that, and they were at the bottom of the dam. It was probably 30, 40 feet deep down there. And,
sure.
And they were standing on what they thought was a log. And the log started moving, and they had their spotlights and that on their helmets, and they looked down, and all they saw was a couple of eyes and whiskers, and they said this thing was about 4 feet wide. They
Wow.
from eye to eye, and the whiskers were, you know, like 6 or 8 feet long.
Right.
And they immediately got, you know, back up and out of the water, and they told the foreman and that they wouldn't go back down there. And they tried to explain what it was. And And the foreman said, oh, it's just a catfish. And, you know, well, there's big ones down there. And they have a story of one that lives below a railroad bridge. It's called Big Muddy.
And yeah, I've heard of that.
Yeah, he's supposed to be as big as a barge.
There's definitely, especially living at the base of dams, many, many stories of gigantic catfishes, some as large as Volvos, you know,
right.
Huge cars. And there's been more than a few stories of divers being spooked by them.
Well, you know, the idea, too, I mean, it's perfect for them right there. They don't like to move around that much.
No.
The food comes to them.
Absolutely.
I mean, no wonder they get that big. But that is kind of the spooky thing, but it's almost... and I know the kind of roller dams you're talking about, too. And yeah, I could...
You're from Minneapolis, aren't you?
I live in the Twin Cities now, but I used to live a little bit along the Mississippi around the Quad Cities. And they got
south there. I live down in Burlington down there.
Well, then, you know, we're seeing the same, like, Lock and Dam 13 or 14 or whatever. And you really see how that could happen. That's very interesting. I hadn't heard anything like that. That would get my attention very, very much. Thank you. Let's go to Chris, west of the Rockies. We're looking for more hunter stories, more monster stories. Chris?
Yeah, hi.
What have you seen, and what was chasing you?
Well, I could come up with a number of stories, but it's not cryptozoology. What I called about basically was to verify that story, and a couple of things I'd like to mention about the divers checking out bases of dams. Here in Arizona, we've got a series of dams along the river and large reservoirs, and the divers go down there and they regularly find catfish that they claim is big enough. There are catfish down there big enough to swallow a man whole and in one piece. And
could explain, and we'll come back to you, Chris, but again, that could explain what's happening then to these geese in the Thames.
Absolutely. I mean, the European catfish, the Wells catfish, they can grow to, you know, 8, 9, 10 feet long, and they've actually been known to eat children.
Yikes.
There's actually a story, you know, not substantiated, but where a 2-year-old child was in a river edge with its mother, or his mother, I should say, and was snatched away and eaten. So these things are carnivorous. Whether or not that story is true is debatable, but they could certainly be responsible for a lot of these disappearing birds and other animals.
Right. And, Chris, this bottom of the dam story, again, you're saying that that's your experience where you are.
That is the common story. Something I'd like to mention real quick is when it comes to the deep sea, there's a thing called a whale shark that is common enough. What the fella in Texas might have seen was a whale shark. I've seen pictures of divers swimming next to one of those, and those things are huge.
Right, and although aren't they aren't whale sharks? Don't they have baleen or don't
they?
Yeah,
they I think they right. just feed on.
They just
so.
Right.
Anyway, I just thought I'd mention that.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate that. And we'll go to the wild card line for Kim on Coast to Coast AM. Kim.
Hi.
Hi, you're talking with Rob of AmericanMonsters.com.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Kim.
Have you ever heard of Lake Worth, Texas?
I've heard of it, yes.
There, back when I was a young girl, I'm 45, we had what they called the Lake Worth Monster. It was half goat and half man.
You know, I have heard reports of this.
We had camped out what they call Greer Island. It's a nature center now, as a matter of fact, out here between Azle in Fort Worth, and they've kind of, you know, like they do most good things, they've got it all fenced off, and you can only get into it at a certain time now.
Right.
At one time when I was growing, you can go in into it anytime. And what it is, it's like a levee that walks out on an island, and we used to go out there and camp on it all the time. And there was like a pit, you know, you had the fire, and you had, you know, a bunch of us kids, and we didn't stick around because, let me tell you, I it was like I was walking on air because I was coming off that island.
It sounds
but
surreal.
What I heard was kind of like some screaming, crying sounds, and it was furry, but I didn't see where it was half goat and half man. But all the other ones, they were saying it had hooves and stuff like that. And, of course,
you
know, there was
that.
Huh?
You didn't see hooves or any other goat-like appendage?
No, all I heard was the screams and someone hollered something out there, and I took off. The other one stayed behind. I was gone.
Has anybody ever had
wings?
Has anybody ever had a photograph of it? Have you ever? Is it gotten some local publicity of drawings?
Well, the police. At one time, there's even a book on it, and someone's actually seen it and said that it was real scaly and furry.
Scaly and furry.
It was between a goat and a man. And then there was reports back when I was growing up all the time of, you know, like dead chickens and dead out in that particular area.
There's also a lot of accounts of goatmen coming from the Maryland area. So it's not just indigenous to Texas.
And thank you for that comment, Kim. Tell me about the goatmen of Maryland. Same description?
Very much so. It's a creature that would probably fit in our Lover's Lane category, as it's mostly sort of like a piece of folklore that surrounds couples that are in a secluded region of Maryland, and they encounter a half-man, half-goat, pan-like entity who terrorizes them, sometimes with an axe, sometimes not. This one definitely treads away from the biological reality of a hybrid creature and more into a mythical sort of traditional pan-like tormentor of young couples.
Okay. David, Wildcard Line, you can find out about all of these at AmericanMonsters.com. David, what are you going to add to the conversation here?
I live in Columbia, South Carolina. And we've had stories of the Lake Murray monster here. We've had stories of monkey dogs. We've had stories of something similar to the rabbit thing. It was a half a something and a rabbit. It was like a big, giant oversized rabbit.
Hmm.
Wow.
I have not seen anything but the monkey dog thing. But I was wondering if I've had some pretty weird experiences behind my house.
You mean a monkey dog other than, say, like a boxer, which always has like a face of a monkey, as far as I'm concerned.
This is a weird thing. I've seen it. I don't know what it is. It's.
Could you describe it?
It gets up on two legs, and it walks on four. It walks on two, and when it's like walking through bushes, I guess you'd say it's up on two legs.
Is its face more dog-like or monkey-like?
It's neither one, but they call it a monkey dog. I don't know why. It's very strange looking. It's got a. It looks more like a. Looks like a sheep in the face, kind of.
Hmm.
That's interesting, and it might fit under the spectrum of devil monkeys. It also sounds like an African creature that was described a lot, especially in the early part of the 20th century, called a Nandi bear. But there's never been an account of that in the United States. That's an African creature, but it's also a canine primate type animal. Huh. At least that's how it's described. That's fascinating, though.
My question was, have you heard of anything in this area?
In South Carolina?
South Carolina area. That's a weird monster type thing.
Well, the Lake Murray monster I've certainly heard of. And I haven't heard of the monkey dog, but I'm definitely fascinated by it because I am certainly intrigued by Bigfoot accounts, but other unknown primates, especially in the southeastern United States, are incredibly intriguing, including the skunk ape, the Honey Island Swamp Monster, devil monkeys, and apparently monkey dogs as well.
Yeah, I would be really curious about some of the gullah stories from the islands off of Beaufort and around that area, too. And, David, hey, if they ever find that, it could only help the Gamecocks in football. It could only help. So thank you so much.
No problem. Before I go, I'd just like to mention again to everyone that our forum is free, and please, if you have questions, sign on, and we have tons of members that would be happy to help them do research.
Well, I know I'll be sending 1,000 people to you that'll be emailing their stories, and so just go directly to AmericanMonsters.com, contact Rob, and let, what do you say, about a month from now, maybe have you back on and do an update or so.
I would love to.
What you've
thank
been able
you.
To find out. We'll get you coming back up. God bless you, and thank you. Have a great night. And to everybody who got through and to everybody else who didn't, you know where to go and continue the research into the unknown on Coast to Coast AM. Deus te amat, and I do too.